It's in the Bible, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, and just a few verses, 25 there. You'll know the story really, really well, I guess. That there's some quite amazing things that come out of it, if I can share it with you. So, with the Lord's help, let's see what it's got to say. Right. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbour as yourself." "You've answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, and so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Now then, which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Right, so let's have a look first of all. What was the greatest? He came and said, "What must I do to have eternal life?" It's the greatest question anybody can ask. But what he means by eternal life isn't just about heaven when you die, pie in the sky when you die, you know. He's talking about a life that means with meaning, with purpose, with blessing of God on it. What's that kind of life is eternal life? Eternal life starts now. Right? It's not just forever and ever in heaven as well, right? That's part of it, of course. But eternal life is what he's talking about. Is how can I have that fullness of life? Well, he comes to Jesus with that question, but it's a trap. He says he came to test Jesus. What's he doing? You see, he's what we describe as an expert in the law. He knew the Bible. And so he's coming to test Jesus out to see if he's all he's cracked up to be. Very dangerous thing to do, to come and try and test Jesus out. But that's what he's aiming to do. Try and find out what Jesus is all about, whether he's genuine or not, I suppose. So he's coming as the superior, right? You know when he's going to fall down, don't you? But next then, please. Next, please. Right. So Jesus turns the question back to him. He says, "You're the expert. You're so-called expert. You know what? You tell me what you think is the means of eternal life." And so he quotes to him those very famous commands. "Love the Lord your God with all that you are and all that you have, and love your neighbour as yourself." Those are the two most important things any human being can do. I hope you realise that, do you? To know God, to experience his love, to be loved by him and to love him is what a human heart was designed for. And then it flows over. It can't stop at that. It has to flow over. Love your neighbour. Let him experience, her experience, the love that you've experienced from God. So he says, "Okay, you got it right. Well done." And how do you think the expert felt with that? Well, let's have a look at our next one, please. Right. Bit of an embarrassing situation. He's been made to look a bit of a fool, I think, as he feels anyway. The expert has been made to answer his own question. But I wonder whether not just embarrassment, but also when he came with that question, maybe there was something in the back of his mind thinking, you know, this Jesus is onto something. He's got something I haven't. Right? And his followers have got something I haven't. And so maybe there was that thought in his mind, a little conscience thing, you know, maybe. What's it all about? Well, we're not quite there yet. So next one, please. So what do you do when you're embarrassed and the heat is on? I've got a nice picture there. What's he doing? Something's fired at him. What he does is he deflects it. Right? He deflects it. How do you deflect it? By you change the subject. Manics, that's the way to do it. Yeah? Change the subject. Go on to something else. And so that's exactly what he does. So he asks the question, well, who's my neighbour? Right, nice one to discuss, isn't it? So let's have a look, please. Right, who is my neighbour is the question he's going to ask in order to get the heat off himself. He's not going to get away with it, but that's what he's going to try and do. So, who is my neighbour? Right, let's have a look, Clem. He's thinking this way. Take your pick. Who do you decide who's the neighbour and who isn't, you know? That's your choice. How do you take a pick out of all of that? Right, we've got a few variations on the theme there, haven't we? Would you count them as your neighbour? Well, they don't live next door to you, do they? That's his sort of academic question he's asking. Well, next, please. Jesus tells him a story. And here we have, I've got the picture, it's the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. That's the picture, that's the real road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jesus is telling a story. They've probably heard something in the local news, maybe recently, something just like this. People travelling down, it's a dangerous place. It's isolated. There's places for people to hide, or gangsters to get a hold of you. That's a dangerous road to take. So Jesus is using a story that will be quite familiar to them to some degree, I suppose, right? So, next then. So he says, there was a certain man, here he is, cheerful looking lad, isn't he? Setting off from Jerusalem to Jericho. And as he's on his way, what happens is, he was attacked by robbers. They mobbed him, seriously. Okay? So he's attacked by robbers, then what happens? They left him for dead. Right? He pinched his clothes, pinched anything he'd got, and beat him up, and left him bleeding. And he'd have died if he'd been left there, I suppose, right? So then this is the interesting thing. Three people Jesus talked about. Englishman, Irishman and Scotsman, we'd say would we? Right? Same idea though. Right? But first of all, a priest came by. Well, there you are. A priest came by. He's a busy lad, isn't he? Priests are busy people. And he looks at him, and he goes by on the other side. Right? He goes by on the other side. He avoids the situation. We'll think about that in a moment. What is it that makes them do what they do? Because we can do it too, can't we? So, that's the priest. Next then. Along comes a Levite. Now, I put a doctor in place of the Levite. Because if you read the Bible and the book of Leviticus, it's the description of all the sacrifices, but it's also the medical textbook for the Israelites. It's how to diagnose various diseases, whether it was leprosy or other types of contagious diseases. The Levite had the job of being the local doctor. So he's ideally qualified to go and help the guy, isn't he? And he comes along and sees him and walks by on the other side. And then, shock of shocks, Jesus says, who comes on the Lord on the, along the road on the third man is a Samaritan. Now, I don't think we really appreciate just how shocking that was. You see, Jesus is using someone in the story that everybody, if you use the word Samaritan, they think you're swearing at them. Yeah, that's how bad Samaritans were considered. Right, so, along came a Samaritan, and what does he do? He sees him, and he says he had pity on him. Right, he cared about the guy. Right, next then, please. So, he says he came along, bandaged him up, and poured in oil and wine. Why the oil and wine? Just a little interesting. I mean, it's really quite interesting.
Wine's antiseptic.
Wine's antiseptic, and the oil is a sort of emollient. It sort of protects the surface. So, he's cleaned him up. And giving him first aid, that's what it is. First aid, he gave him. Right, so then, he has some private health care afterwards. Right, took him on his donkey along to the local inn, or wherever it was, and had him put up there for a while and looked after. And he said to the man in charge, he says, I'll give you some money, and if you run out, I'll reimburse you when I come back. Okay? He obviously was well known by the landlord. Right, so he trusted him, and the guy was looked after him, and he got well, didn't he? Right, so that's the story. Very simple story, with the shocking bit about the Samaritan. You know what's coming, don't you? Right, so next one is, so Jesus asks the question of the expert. Which one was the neighbour? And you can answer it, can't you? Which one was the neighbour? It was the Samaritan, of course, right? But the man doesn't say that. The man doesn't say the Samaritan.
Why won't he say Samaritan?
He can't say Samaritan. He hates Samaritans. Samaritans are no good, Samaritans. He can't say it.
Right?
And you can think, you pick any sort of group in our society today. Let's use Eastern Europeans. How about that? Yeah. For some people, or people with a different race or a different background, you know, same sort of thing, you know, they're not us, and so we won't bother. Right? That's what they were thinking. Okay? Is that right? Okay? Yeah. Right, so, why weren't the others a neighbour? This is really important. Why weren't the others a neighbour?
They ignored
them. They ignored them, yes, but why did they ignore them? They saw them, look. What's their reason? Couldn't be bothered. Right? Couldn't be bothered. That's one of them, possibly. There's as many reasons as there are people often. Too busy. I'd love to help, but I just can't help now. It's my day off.
Monday.
See? He was going down to Jericho for the rest. It's wrong day. Yeah. All sorts of reasons. Yes, oh, I'm too busy. Can't be bothered. Maybe, you know, one thought maybe. Supposing I get involved, what would it mean? Yeah. What if? Oh, plenty of what ifs. All of those things. We can have a... This is the story for us, dear friends. You realise that, yeah? As well as for this lawyer. So, Jesus is beginning to get us to think about what it is that makes the difference between a neighbour and not a neighbour. Right, so next then, please. Right. I don't know if you realised it, but Jesus didn't answer his question. The man asked, who is my neighbour? Tell me what kind of people are neighbours. Right? And Jesus doesn't answer the question, who is my neighbour? He asks the question, are you a neighbour? You see, the bloke had tried to deflect it. And got it away from him, right, to somebody else, neighbours, right? But Jesus brings it right back and says, are you a neighbour? And that's the question for all of us. Are you a neighbour? What's a neighbour? A neighbour is somebody who cares for somebody else who's in need. That's the definition, really. A neighbour is somebody who cares for somebody else who's in need, that they can help. Right? That's really the practical thing. So what does then Jesus do? He comes to the question, what must I do to get eternal life? How can I live a life that's purposeful and meaningful? And Jesus says to him, at the end of it, go and do
likewise.
The same, do likewise. Right? You start doing that, right, you'll find out what life's really all about. Right? But it's involving that big question. What must I do to get eternal life? Can you answer that? What must I do to have eternal life? Well, I want to answer it by showing you something, which is a bit of an old picture. Right? Right, what's the point of that? It's called putting the cart before the horse. Right. Now then, the problem is, for many people, it's this. They think they have to do something in order to earn God's love and favour. Right? What do I do to get eternal life? Right? There's nothing you can do to get eternal life. Except one little thing. And that is to trust in Jesus. To put your faith in Jesus as your Saviour who'll take away your sins and give you His life and His love. He'll do it for free. Right? You can't do anything apart from say, please, Lord, come into my life, help me, change me, make me one of yours. Right? Anybody can do that. You don't have to be an expert in the law. Right? That's what you have to do, if you call that doing anything. Then, you get it the right way around. Because once you've got the life, then you start to do. Hope you've got that, dear yes. friends. It doesn't work this way. You come and say, Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me for my sins, I know I've broken your laws, I've let people down, I've sinned against you, forgive me for all those terrible things. And then, having done that, you don't get wrapped up in cotton wool, put in a box on the shelf until Jesus comes back. No. When He saved you, when He's given you His love and His grace, He then says, now use it. Right? There's a verse that's been a very special verse for me over the years, and this is the way it works. As we've seen with Chris and Marion, with the people out, with our brother out there, Victor, working with us. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. The only way to receive is give. Right? As you give out, God pours it in. And that's the way it works. And so, as you receive God's love, pour it out. And you get more. That's where the life continues and the blessings continue to flow. So let's have our next one, and I think we're about there. So, Jesus says, go and do likewise. Dear friends, you won't get blessed if you sit on your chair. I must, don't go just from that. You won't get blessed if you sit on your chairs and do nothing. Right? The means to blessing is in order to act and to do. That doesn't mean to say that everybody's up and running around. You can sit on your chair and pray for people. You can sit on your chair and write. And so you've got the idea what I'm saying is. Your receiving of the love of God needs to flow out. That's why the two commandments go together. Love the Lord your God with all that you are. You can't do that without Jesus. You can't do that because it's just impossible for the human heart to do that. But when Jesus fills your heart with his love, then you think, wow, isn't God wonderful? Hope you think God's wonderful today?
Yes.
Good. Right. That's number one. And the second is, love your neighbour as yourself. Right. I'll just throw this one out. Do you love yourself? Do you go to the mirror in the morning and say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the wonderfulest of them all? And it says, you are. Does it?
That sounds like pride.
Definitely not.
Yes. But, I want you to say, you know, we're all sinful. We've all failed. Yeah? We've got nothing to boast about in ourselves. But I can assure you, all of us need to know that if you have put your faith in Jesus, you are one of the most important people in the universe. Right? You're one of God's children.
Yes.
That's what makes you valuable. That's what makes you worth something. It's because he loves you. Do you know, there was I was in the dentist on Friday morning for a check-up sort of thing, you know. And the telly was on in the dentist. And it had that terrible program. What's his name?
Jeremy Kyle.
Kyle! That was the name. Oh, man. Unbelievable. But anyway, I managed to see a bit of it, yeah. And it was this girl, right? She had an abortion. She got 45 kids, I think, 6 kids. And she'd had an abortion. And from then on, she'd hit the drugs. She was seriously into terrible drugs. And her family were upset about her, her mother was upset about it, and they're all trying to tell her, give up the drugs, right? And they're all saying, you know, you're ruining your family, you're ruining your life, you're messing everything up, right? And they were trying their best. And, you know, I really wanted to scream at the telly. You're not dealing with the problem, you're dealing with the symptoms. The drugs are a symptom. That woman's hurting, that woman's broken, and she needs fixing in her heart. Right? And Jesus can forgive her for her sin. Jesus can clean her life up. Jesus can change what's aching inside to make her whole. He's the answer. Right? If you want eternal life, you'll only get it in Jesus. It won't be the drugs, it won't be your friends and your family, as well-meaning as they can be. Right? And Jesus says, come to me. You come to me. He'll give you life. And when he's given you life, what does he tell you to do? Go and do likewise. As you've been blessed, as you've received, give it away. Give it away. You're going to give it away?
Yes.
By the Lord's help. Let's pray, shall we? Dear Lord Jesus, we come to you as empty and as broken as anybody could be, Lord. And yet, Lord, in that, as empty vessels, you can fill us up with you. And only you can do the filling, Lord Jesus. We thank you for loving us. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters, my friends here, Lord. Fill us with yourself so that we overflow, Lord, not just for our benefit, not just for me, my and mine, Lord, but in order that we can share with others. Because that's the way you say we'll enjoy and fulfill living as it's best. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Oh Jesus, help us to learn what it is to be a neighbour. Lord, to care for the people that are needy, near us, that we can do something about. Lord, maybe for those who are miles and miles away, we could pray and we could give. Lord, help us to learn how to love our neighbour as ourselves. Lord, because you've loved us just as we are and made us into something so special because we're children of God through Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your mercies. In Jesus' name.
Amen.